What's up, everybody? This is Talk To Me at Louder Than Life 2022, and these are the interviews.
I had memories. I think that's also called brainwashing, you know?
A band's going out and actually making their voices heard and telling their stories.
All right, guys, let's welcome Monty Pittman of Ministry to the Talk To Me podcast here, notfest.com. Monty, how are we doing today, man?
Doing really good. Great to be here in Kentucky.
Yes.
Excited to play and see a bunch of friends and hear a lot of great music. I saw Taipei Houston when we got in.
Yeah.
They were amazing. I'm a fan already.
Yeah, I've only got to listen to them. I will actually be talking to them later on tonight, but I've been back here, man. I've been stuck in the confines of the media tent, man. It's no fun.
Yeah, something different happened. I was videoing them playing, and I send it to my daughter.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Like, hey, I think you'd like this band. Like, it's reached that level now.
We know those are Lars's kids, so.
Yeah, that's what somebody was saying.
So, good times, man.
Which one is his son?
They're both.
Oh, those both of his kids.
Yeah, both kids.
Because when he was playing bass, I was like, he plays kind of like Cliff.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, random.
Yeah, I wonder if it's a two-piece because Lars was like, if you only got two members in the band, you're going to make way more money.
He's probably like, hey, I've dealt with guitar players. Trust me.
Yeah, right. So you know, you're recent to ministry in the last couple of years or so. So what's the kind of getting into the band and touring in ministry and all that been for you?
Oh, it's been some of the best times I've ever had. We've all been friends for a while, which is really cool. I wasn't coming into a band that I didn't know the people. So that's a lot of fun. So it's just friends getting together and playing. And like, you know, we toured in the spring and just had the best times. Yeah. I mean, with this group, we have so much fun together, and I think it really shows on stage. You see the chemistry. You know, I think when we went on tour, we only had one argument, and that was, should we open this bottle of wine? It's 5 a.m. I think that was the only time we ever had a disagreement.
Was it 5 a.m. at the end of the night or 5 a.m. you just woke up?
I think maybe somebody thought to mention that, and so the bottle of wine got opened because it wasn't 5 a.m. somewhere we had been.
Nice. Ministry's obviously got a big message, band, and I think the one question I kind of had for you is like now in the last few years of even you know the turmoil in America and splits and you know we're definitely probably more split than we've been in a very long time. Is right now a perfect time for a band like Ministry?
Any time is a perfect time for a band like Ministry. I think that you know people's opinions and people's perceptions of things change when they find out something new about a situation.
Right.
And so as far as music, it should be something that's, you know, personal to the listener. That's how I think of it. And so I think that... Is that a... Oh, I thought that was a... thought that was a blue jet. So I think, raising questions,
yes,
whether you agree with it or not, because at the end of the day, everybody's got to figure out how to get along with each other.
Right.
I mean, for me, I hate all the politicians pretty much equally.
they're all pretty much straight down the line.
It's like thinking the stripper at the strip club cares about you.
They don't?
I mean, to other people, they don't. Right. Me and you, we would be good.
Right. You know, you get to strike up a conversation with them. You know, they want to know your real... You know, the best thing to do is ask the stripper what's your real name, you know.
Right.
you've made a career out of being a musician. And not a lot of people get to do that. Obviously, with the Madonna thing and playing on so many records and having your own solo career and ministry and things like that. I mean, when did you realize that you were going to, you know, do this as a profession... And then also just being able to keep yourself going and afloat.
That's all I've ever wanted to do since I was a little kid is play music and to play, you know, play in a band, play guitar in a band or play drums in a band. You know, I, when I was a little kid, I would switch between, like, oh, I want to be a singer. I want to be a drummer. And then I finally got a guitar and I said, okay, that's what I want to do. And for me, you know, I'm very lucky and very fortunate to still have a career that's gone like 22 years now, and looking back, it's the variety to being able to do multiple styles. Like, let's say I was playing with one person for a few years, and if that's all that I did, when that time period is over, if I didn't have anything else to go to, then I wouldn't still be here. I still wouldn't be doing this. And also, you know, I always tell people, like, when I get asked questions about that, about like having a career, I always say it's bad luck to turn down a gig.
Right.
And I've taken the gigs that they were offered. Not even like a big, like, let's say someone's going to play at a little bar and yeah. they need a guitar player. And let's say you didn't like the music. Well, I offered this to a friend of mine one time. They're like, oh, no, I don't like the music. I'm not doing it. I'm like, yeah, but you never know who you're going to meet and what that's going to lead to. So I took my friend's gig that he got offered. And, I learned a lot about reading chord charts from that. And you may meet someone that down the line has a very important part of your life, you know, later on. One of my favorite gigs besides ministry that I did was this pop band called Carmen with a K.
Okay.
And a friend of mine was a tour manager, and she said, hey, friends of mine, they need a guitar player. I think you would get along so well. It's really, really poppy, though. And I was getting ready to come out with one of my albums on Metal Blade. It was like I was trying to make the heaviest album I could make, because when I first got signed to Metal Blade, I didn't expect it to happen.
Yeah.
And I played my album for Brian Slagle, and he's like, I'll take you. And I'm like, what? So then it's like, okay, now I've got to make a heavy album. So I was putting out a heavy album called Inverted Grasp of Balance. Well, you should get them all. And then I heard Carmen, and I was like, oh, that's a little too poppy. And she's like, just meet them. So I met them, and they were the coolest people. And I was like, I'll play with them just because they're so cool.
Right.
And by doing something like that, I learned so much from playing with them, doing the pop stuff, that I was able to take back to Madonna and have a new skill.
Right.
Even though it's still kind of the same thing. They're all a little different. Same thing with working with ministry. And now we're starting to write some new music, and just working with them, I just learn so much.
Yeah.
To me, I'm just always learning. You know, I'm a teacher. I'm a guitar teacher. So part of being a teacher is you are constantly learning something.
And the one thing that you taught someone was you taught Madonna A New Level by Pantera.
Yeah.
So, tell me that story.
Okay. So that story is we were – how much time do we have? Long story short, we were working on some guitar stuff. And for Madonna's band, she brought in there was a completely new band except for me. And the new musical director wanted to he had this idea of her doing like a rock version of her song Hung Up. And so the tuning is called drop B, in case you don't know what that means. You just tune one of the strings down, and it makes it to where you can play a chord with just one finger.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had that version of the song, and we were working on it, and I couldn't believe it at the time that we were going to do a rock version of
right.
that song of all
right.
the songs. Like, wow, okay. Because we usually do something like that every tour. There's
yeah.
some sort something. We did a version of Burning Up, a version of Dress You Up. And then I was working on like some right-hand technique stuff. Now, Dimebag, I used to play in Prong also.
Right.
And Dimebag came to a show. And Tommy Victor was from Prong, was introducing us, and he's like, oh, this is the new guy, huh? And he's like, yeah. He goes, can you guys do Cut Rate? And I'm like, yeah. It's like, he can play that part on the solo where it goes to F sharp, and goes, dun, 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 dun. Like, he knew the song, and
yeah.
I was like, wow. And Tommy's like, oh, yeah, of course. You know, like, I wouldn't have had him in the band if he didn't play the song. And Dime goes, you got to stay on top of that string, man. You got to stay on top of that string and relax a little. That's the key. And I'm like, yeah, okay. All right. And then I didn't realize what he was telling me until later on, that like when people play fast, you see their hands like do this,
yeah.
but there's nothing to play right there.
Right.
You know, once you leave that string, that's it.
Right.
And so I had passed that on to Madonna, and I said, here, try this. So the next day, she walks in, she sets down a bottle of wine and two glasses, and she goes, open that up. He goes, like, plays like fast and tight and heavy. I'm
yeah.
like, oh my god, like, I showed you something that Diamond said to me. That
wow.
was so cool. I said, now I gotta teach you part of a Pantera song. And for a new level, even though the original recording isn't done this way, it's
yeah.
still the same notes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you could play it with one finger, and the notes go higher up the neck, and I thought that's something she would like. And then when we were in rehearsal playing, like at the end of the song, we were doing, she just kept playing that riff. And then the rest of the band would come in and just start jamming. And, like, they didn't really know what that was. For all they knew, she was just, you know.
Playing whatever.
She came up with that riff or something. And then you would see, like, the tour manager would come in. And all these people who weren't there when we were rehearsing would just show up.
Yeah.
When we were going to maybe play part of a Pantera song. And it lasted in the set. And it made sense for several reasons. That part of the show was like a game. And it was right before the last song, so a new level fit.
Nice.
Or having a new band, a new level. It just everything fit. But I got to play some Pantera at a stadium in South America. So that was cool.
Too awesome. All right, one last dumb question before we wrap up on the ministry and stuff. So I was doing some Wikipedia, research. And I saw that you did some stuff with Sporty Spice back in like 2003.
Yeah.
Have you met her? Did you play with her? Did you in the same room kind of stuff?
Yeah, I met her. She's awesome too. Her and Emma and I forget who else. They used to come out and see us, like with Madonna. They would come out and see us play.
Oh, yeah.
Like multiple nights. I think their crew, some of their crew was some of our crew, and that happens a lot. And it was just a coincidence of me playing on her album because I had done a session with someone else.
Yeah.
With Sarah Hudson. She's a songwriter. She writes with Katy Perry and Dua Lipa, an amazing singer too. And so this guy who was working with her was there for a session that I did, and then he asked me to play on Melanie's stuff, and he was like, do like a Stevie Ray Vaughan kind of solo on it. I'm like, what? I'm like, what's going on with all these people?
This is for Knotfest, and there's a cool mashup of Slipknot and Spice Girls. And so last year I was doing a Knotfest Twitch stream, and I was like, I reached out to Mel. I was like, I think she might do this if I could get to her and pitch her coming on to a Knotfest platform, a Slipknot platform, but the management. They thought about it, I think, for a little bit, and then they ended up turning it down, but that would have been a lot of fun.
She's super cool, so I'm sure if it was of the circumstances, she would. I don't know, but yeah, she's awesome.
Right, awesome, man.
I need to teach her a Slipknot song.
There you go.
I need to teach her how to play guitar.
well, then there we go. Perfect segue into you teaching guitar lessons. You can go to, what is it, ministryband.com?
Right, yeah, or you can find me. Yeah. I'm everywhere on social media, just at Monty Pittman.
Yeah.
I teach guitar lessons online, over FaceTime or Skype or Zoom or whatever works. A lot of people don't understand how that works.
Easy that is, yeah.
They always ask, well, how would that work if you're teaching someone but you're over FaceTime? So it's just like a conversation.
Yeah.
But I'm showing you what to do, and I'll send you everything printed out.
Nice.
I've been teaching since I was 15, and so and that's how I started playing guitar for Madonna. I started teaching her.
Yeah.
And I was able to like really turn it into an online business about 6 or 7 years ago when Skype would work. Because people would say like, oh, you need to do these kind of lessons or YouTube lessons. I'm like, But I do have a Patreon page now also with quick 5-minute lessons.
Nice.
Because I don't know how anybody learns anything on YouTube. You go on there and like somebody will talk for like 5 to 10 minutes.
What this song means to me is...
Then you're, they will bore you to death. Yeah. And then... you're not even going to use anything that they show you.
Yeah.
So, I've just been doing that. I'm always teaching. I love teaching. So we're looking at like teaching on the road is something. I mean, I teach on the road on my own, but as something that's part of a package for shows. And so everybody should check it out. If there's something to learn for anyone. Awesome. I came up with something the other day. I was really proud of myself with.
All right.
15 songs in 15 minutes. So you tune to an open tuning like the Rolling Stones,
right.
And then you could play so many songs. And it makes, even if you're somebody advanced, it makes you look at the chords differently because you see where they all line up.
Right.
You know, everything, it's kind of like a train. Like they're all these patterns are connected and you're just moving them to another fret or another place that you play the notes. But your patterns are all the same. Guitar players look at things as patterns a lot. There's a lot of geometry, a lot of shapes and squares. Basically, you could just make a triangle with your fingers, and it's going to be something.
Yeah, you're going to figure out a song, man. Well, what's the future of Monty Pittman? What's the future of ministry at this point?
Well, right now we're starting to write some new music that we're really, really excited about, and just taking our time. just taking it slow, and every day everything changes. Like, here's a song how you had it on Thursday, but then Friday there's a new idea, and that completely changes the course.
Right.
So I've got another album to do also, and I'm taking my time with that too. So mainly it's just, you know, I teach every day, and I always have availability. I can teach from anywhere, and you can be anywhere.
Nice.
So I'm doing that and writing music.
Awesome. Well, guys, this is a huge thank you to Monty Pittman of Ministry, taking some time here at Talk To Me Podcast, notfest.com.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Awesome.
Good talk.
The Talk To Me Podcast, presented by notfest.com. Follow the show at Talk To Me Talk. Be sure to subscribe, rate the podcast, and leave a review on your favorite podcast app to get the latest from the Talk To Me Podcast.